for me, you all need no introduction. We've been working together for so long. But we all take 1 second and introduce yourselves. Nona, would you go first? Ladies first. Oh, here it is. Hold on.
David's hogging the mic.
Sorry.
Hi, I'm Nona. I'm with Slalom Consulting. I've been in this industry for quite a long time and in working with these guys on the Smart Content Council for 5+ years. I think we've got a really good show for you today. Matt went through kind of some of the agenda, and we're going from, what is it, inception to infinity?
And beyond.
Yes, and we'll also talk about some smart staffing and smart audience insights. So let's get going.
David?
I'm David Sugg. I'm with Warner Brothers. I've been in this industry a really long time, too. Been with Smart Content for around the same amount of time as Nona. And I'm excited to see folks here for this, given all the fun things that are going on in the world right now.
Well, David, you're normal. you have a little bit of a cold, so you're especially gravelly.
I'm on the very end of a cold, so I sound like Barry White.
That's why we're down here.
Darth Sugg.
I can go deeper if you want. I am your father.
Jason Lambert from Sony Pictures, doing content licensing and metadata services and strategy. Been with this for, I think, since the beginning, Metadata Madness. Really excited to hear more stories about how the bridging of data and operations pairs up with the groups that are responsible for licensing and sales, ultimately driving us to the end point of, I mean, it's what the end goal is with all of this, right? It's getting the content into the consumer. So you've got the operation side, and you've got to be able to leverage that data and figure out what to do with it.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, and on the licensing side, talk about infinity, right? You're pulling clips from ages ago and making it work, right?
Yeah, from the 30s and 40s we were just talking about this morning.
So really?
Yeah.
I was just thinking like old Seinfeld or something.
You'll see the commercial soon.
Yeah. Oldest show in the Sony library is, I think it's 1891 or something. Man Without a Head, I think.
We have not sold that recently.
I love it. Eric?
Eric Iverson. I've been in media entertainment for 20 years, Sony Pictures for a really long time, where I had the extreme pleasure of working with Jason and also Nona through the industry. And then most recently CAA, and doing independent advisory work now.
Indeed. Well, this group has been together, and Eric, you're a crossover also, because you sit on the Hollywood IT Society Content Advisor Council. You also sit on the EIDR board.
I just sit a lot.
You sit. Okay. There's a lot of sitting going on. Sitting, smiling, and sometimes standing. So I thought we would do a little bit of a retrospective. Matt kicked it off, but I looked back over the years of all the times that we've been together, and not only produced this conference, but this conference, I don't know if everybody knew, it grew out of a conference called Metadata Madness. That was really our there it is, right? Our first foray into the metadata game, right? It's 2014, right? I had this great idea of, like, it's March, the NCAA tournament's on, let's do it a March Madness theme. So hence that's Garrett up there, who's up working sound as the basketball player cut out, right? We tried to make it fun. Right, that was the whole idea. Let's have a little bit of fun. So, we wore ref shirts, the moderators, and when you walked up to the stage, there was the squeaky noise on the floor. And the buzzer, the timeout buzzer.
But it's a long way of saying we've evolved.
We've evolved.
We have evolved.
Yeah, guys, and I'm sings now.
Well, and the letter that I got from the NCAA a month later that said cease and desist.
That helped the evolution.
Well, that's where the basketball theme kind of went right out the window.
Who knew?
We decided, okay, let's start thinking about this in a broader context. And this is where Matt's first Smart Content Summit really happened. And Matt was a huge champion in it. And I wanted to take a look at some of the titles that we did, because I think it informs us, and you're going to see a very recurring theme. I talk a lot about the steady drumbeat and us keep going. Also noticing some of the, content intelligence, strategy supporting smart content. Nobody had ever used this term in our business before. But it resonated, and it resonated well. So that was 14, and then we said, okay, let's get back to Metadata Madness. No basketballs. It's just the traditional straight up. It's almost like what we looked like yesterday at the EIDR OTT, right back at the Lux, our roots. But you see some interesting pieces in here. First of all, the keynote from the USC leader was very informative, very crazy. But look at some of the topics, right? Defining the user experience, right? We started talking about things that were very digital and a little bit ahead of the curve, considering our streaming economy. And it was also about the camaraderie.
We had better chairs, too, on the stage.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It's hard to lug around those big plush chairs. These fit very well in a truck.
Don't fit in a guy's Beetle.
I also think the focus on semantics was something that was interesting and also pretty prescient and ahead of the curve. Then we said, well, wait a minute, we can't just do this on this coast. So we went to the East Coast and had an academic, also started working with advertising very early. The ANA is the Association of National Advertisers. It's all the big brands, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, that's their club. So we talked about the media supply chain, and what also stunned me in looking back in the retrospective is, look at all those association partners, right? We were trying to be a crossroads to say, this should be a play in every single one of your strategies. Data should be top of mind, top of going. Now, granted, we're in 2015, right? So we still have 5 years to go. We're going to try to sail through some of these pretty quickly. And by the way, that the Drexel University thing around metadata is capital, right? That was a big thing, right? It was like, how do you quantify and monetize this, get budget for it, and basically get it into your P&L? These are all pretty revolutionary, pretty groundbreaking now that we're looking back on them. Then we came back here to the States. Again, we were talking with MLBAM, right, who at that time was not owned by Disney. They were still a Major League Baseball product. Joe Inzerillo came in and kind of blew our minds. But then Jason, us in the afternoon.
Still had great hair, right?
The hair is a recurrent theme. But Hartwig Adam, right? And I always thought that his name was reversed. I thought it was Adam Hartwig. But his name is Hartwig.
It's Hartwig Adam.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. But he baked our noodle around Google Photos and the content recognition that was going in there. And immediately I adopted Google Photos and started uploading all, and I love it to this day. But that was also really groundbreaking.
They love you for adopting it because they know everything about you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But so again, pretty ahead of the curve, right? We're still talking, but still beating that drumbeat steadily, right? Still on the pulpit. We came back to New York in March of the following year. And started talking about media and entertainment interoperability, right? Trying to talk to those advertisers, figure out what's going on. The irony is that would be so right on right now in terms of AVOD and where we're going. Maybe it was a few years too early, but I think it also shows some of the work that we could do around it. But looking at some of these topics, metadata across the supply chain, we're still talking about metadata across the supply chain. And we followed it up because we had a rights group. There was a bunch of issues going on around avails and rights, and everybody wanted to get together and talk about this. Let's clear it up. We'll sometimes do that with some smaller point on topics. I love also, like, you know, contract language, 50 Shades of Grey. You know, those are the fun things where it's like we can have fun around this and understand what the actual pain point is. Because that's the idea, is you're surfacing pain points, whether it's on stage or in conversations. That was definitely one piece of it. Then we dropped the metadata madness piece. It started to become a lunch once we came into Los Angeles. Again, I skipped another year ahead, right? We're now in 2017. Again, talking about interoperability. This gentleman, John Palfreyman, that was
Where did
his
he
book.
Get that jacket? I mean, everybody, look at that jacket.
The Masters?
Yeah.
Where would you buy that?
I was going to say the Century 21 guy accidentally washed it with a black
coat. Where's our Shazam guy? We need to, like, Shazam that green jacket.
That's right. Where is it? Oh, don't even talk about Jennifer Anderson's sweater. We went down a rabbit hole there. So we came back here 2 weeks later and had our Smart Content West. And Amber Case was also amazing, The Inconvenient Data Truth. Again, look at these themes. We're still talking about this. We are obviously on a very... machine learning AI tip here and talking more about that, automation. And also the Netflix presentation was also very interesting. Then we go to the following year, 2018, machine learning, AI.
Movie Pass.
The Movie Pass keynote, right? Well, hey, sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Part of the evolution. It's all cool.
Hey, by the way, I'm here to show it warts and all, right? And Mitch Lowe started Netflix, right? But by the way, their data strategy, right? Maybe not their business strategy, but their data strategy was actually pretty sound in terms of the data they were getting off of their users. So again, themes, recurrent themes, same deal. Beat the drum steadily. Right, but still have hurdles and challenges to go over. The other idea is bringing in the cloud providers, so Azure and AWS, really talking about what they're doing from their overall data strategy for their customers was huge. We did the MoviePass thing in New York, too. It was obviously very hot news at that time. And I also like the thing, you know, along the lines of our Take the Damn tour at NAB, which we've done for 5 years. What's your damn problem? We can have fun with this. All right. Similar thing. This is actually not New York. This was actually LA. This is last year's one. Sorry, that's a misnomer. So this is 2019. Last year we had Eric Daimler talking about the government and their data strategy, and essentially how AI and robotics was revolutionizing their approach to data and what it's going to mean to us in the industry. And then VUCA, of course, volatility, uncertainty. Right. We're going to talk about VUCA later today. So essentially, it was about looking back and saying we've been talking about the same thing. And if you just look at the titles, you would say these are the same thing. But we have evolved, right? I mean, this conversation from when we originally had it, there were a lot of things that weren't invented, right? It's almost, again, parallels to the Shazam presentation where it's like, oh yeah, we launched in 2000 with the Nokia phone, right? Maybe we can start there and talk about the difference between your smart content one or metadata madness one versus 5-6 years beyond, perhaps in the context of your role at Sony.
But as you were going through these slides and as I was thinking about this panel ahead of time, is anybody, show of hands, familiar with the Gartner hype cycle of technology? A few hands, right? So you've got that.
Doesn't matter. It's clicker.
Okay, great. You've got that inflection point where you then reach this peak of inflated expectations, right? The graph goes up, and then it drops down into the trough of disillusionment, and then it slowly reaches this plateau of productivity. And I feel like as we've walked through some of these conversations, you know, in 2014, on that hype cycle was data science. Like, data science is a bullet point that's going up in 2014, and I think we have sort of followed along with that, where we had these inflated expectations as to what was possible with data. But we've really come down, and now you're starting to see in the programming every year that we understand what the problem is and sort of where we need to go to find solutions to start to connect these pieces together, because it's not about a bunch of what ifs. It's we know that things are possible now, and we're now trying to solve them knowing what with the knowledge that we have gathered over 6 years.
Did you all realize that we're in the trough of disillusionment right now?
No, we are beyond it.
Oh, we're on the other side of it.
We're at the plateau of productivity.
Still in the trough of disillusionment.
Now we're in the trough of disillusionment with machine learning and AI metadata.
Yes,
that's right.
That's right.
That's exactly
right. Which still doesn't work.
And what it comes down to is there's always a silver bullet. There's always a unicorn. There's always something that we're chasing that's going to make all of our lives better. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, we realize, having been on this for so long and beating the drum for so long, that we have to create it. No one's going to come in and impart this wisdom on us or hand us a tool that's going to solve all our problems. And part of the Smart Content Council has been really building out some of those concepts, thinking about the art of the possible. What if in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and then working together to build that stuff out. But it's been a long road.
It has. It has. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was going to just add a couple things. One, if you know me well, there's kind of three mega trends that I think are really, really interesting. One is that you know, everything becomes a digital experience, and so everyone's talking about UX. We talked about that, but that we're actually thinking about creating digital experiences for things, and we think about experience. And if you're anybody, you know, in our business, we think about experience a lot now. That's a word we use. We did not use that word on a daily basis in 2014, but
indeed,
that is definitely now top of mind in kind of product management and
sure,
how we kind of think about that. The second is that everything has become data. In other words, we represent everything, like we talked about, you know, the kind of digital twins earlier, but that everything that we now think of, we have gotten to the point, even your photos, that we all agree that everything now can become data and can be captured as data. And the third is that now we recognize that everything can be connected globally, with our networks are becoming more hyper-connected. We have tools like blockchain to actually allow us to transact in those hyper-connected networks, and we have all this connection. So it's a long way to say, but I took a big step back. In 2014, we were kind of dabbling in pieces of that. Maybe our focus was a bit on that data side, but the magic happens in the center of all of those three things, when those three things collide and meet. And the super exciting thing that we have going on right now is just that, the maturity of those three buckets. Back in 2014, you know, if I ask this question to the audience, like, so probably everybody at some point in time has actually shared, like, living space with somebody else. Okay, everyone? Right, okay. So you probably had this moment, like someone calls you on the phone, they're like, hey, I need help. I need to find, and like, you're, oh, shit. They're going to go ask. It's in my closet. And you're like, I'm never going to find that. Like, wherever it is, or it's in the garage, or wherever the place is, you're never going to find it, right? Because, you know, back in 2014, that was the problem that we had. Yeah. Everybody had their own closet
yes.
with no labels on anything. And if you go back to that 2014, 2015, and I know that we worked on that, we had all these independent closets. And what we really spent in that first half, if you watch the evolution, because it's the same theme, but it's not. In the maturity, what you've seen is, in 2014, we realized, oh my gosh, nothing is organized.
Right.
Or in it, and maybe I'm being a little dramatic, but a lot
You're
of
not.
Effort. In all of those, look at those, if you go back to the 2015 slide, or I think it was the one you showed up there, then all of a sudden you see all these standards organizations up there on the slide, right?
Jumping
it was
like, in.
Oh my gosh, well, if we're going to get organized, like how in the world are we going to do that? So then you kind of saw that kind of come up in the next phase. Then things like data science and whatnot, you start looking in the middle, which is what's the value when we get all of those things working together?
Yeah.
We get all the, and that's where, like, you talk about data science. Well, data science is nothing without data, right? Data science is nothing without that data connecting, right?
Yes.
And why are we so interested in data science? Because we're actually trying to improve a lot of experiences that people have or target and other things. But that all has to do with kind of making it meaningful. So I think when you look at that story arc, it's actually pretty interesting. It's been fun being a part of that journey.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Dave. Oh, I was going to say also, you know, and bringing it back to the smart supply chain piece, right? It's not just also about the consumer. Once we get organized, that's when you can also start driving efficiencies, right? That's the whole point of it. And the question I guess I have, and I'll pick on you, David, because we're looking at each other. Are we driving efficiencies?
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you. It would have been terrible if you'd said no.
You know, it's very interesting.
We're just throwing money at it.
Conference is over?
Yeah. No. Oh, God. I think we have to be driving efficiencies because we're all in this game now of trying to jam content in 10 different directions that didn't exist before. We're all launching OTT platforms. We're all doing this. We're all doing that. And the amount of content metadata that has to move around is sort of stunning. But I think the thing that interests me is what it finally took to get the business to actually be willing to invest in this sort of organization that Eric was talking about. It was that data science requirement, because a lot of folks in our industry are very, very happy with being the only person that knows where the thing is in the closet. And, you know, it's terrible, right? And so there's always been this sort of two schools of thought of how you solve that problem. Do you make one big closet and jam everything into it and index it when you do it? Or do you just figure out how to organize all the closets? I'm sorry for the closet metaphor. It's Eric's fault. But I think
that the closet, Dave.
We didn't have in a lot of cases, we didn't have the technology back in 2014, or we didn't have sort of viable technology to create a scenario where you had a, you know, sort of a network of closets. Right, and we're going to just run with this closet thing. And now we do, and I think that getting people to shift to that approach is actually pretty helpful, getting like to index your closet, and then we'll hook it all together with the data science.
When I think as IT professionals or as technology professionals, we had a lot of help from the consumer market. It's really tough to sell projects from within IT, trying to get money, trying to get capital funding for whatever it is that you want to do. But once, as consumers, we were able to use AI, use data, use AI, use machine learning to do things like, I bought a pair of shoes on Amazon. They want to sell me a belt that goes with them. That's fantastic. Then I think the business community started to get more a sense of what it might be able to do in a B2B context.
Well, and look, when you talk about supply chain, the consumer doesn't give a shit about supply chain. They just want it right there, right now, instant click, instant buy, whatever.
They care about it when it doesn't work.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But otherwise, they don't. But that's fine, because it's like you know, when you run operations in an IT world, your sort of state of nirvana is nobody's paying any attention to me because I'm doing my job correctly.
Yeah.
You know, I think two things makes me think of. One is definitely on those kind of experiences, like the consumer now expects it. Back to the kind of the connected data, the important part of it is that's where it breaks down. And I think what we have going on now that is a bit of a challenge is that we're creating so much more data that it's actually upping the game and the responsibility of being more thoughtful on how it connects. Because, you know, was that the great slide we have up there was like about the manure? You know, bad data is like manure. Actually, I think bad data is worse than manure because at least manure fertilizes other organisms. Bad data literally just gets in the way. I mean, if it's actually bad data and disorganized, it is completely and totally useless.
Totally.
But collecting it is a good strategy if you have a strategy to connect it to other data or organize it. And without that, I think it's relatively meaningless. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, Nona and I were talking, I think you're maybe teeing up a presentation you have later, is actually thinking a little bit more about data. I think that's one of the things that's been interesting in all of our roles. If I said, hey, have you thought a little bit about how you might develop your data skills in the last 4 months? How many people would raise their hand? Just that, because I do. I mean, I think about it, it's like, gosh, man, there's so much to know. Am I going to be a data scientist? No, man, I don't have that kind of time. But but I know a lot about data. So, but you've been doing some kind of work kind of like in this kind of organization and use cases and data science stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exactly. And we can talk more about it during our breakout session at, I believe, 12:15. But, you know, it comes back around to, we all know we need data, we all know we need people, but we're not quite sure. For the longest time, there's not been a whole lot of industry standards or definitions around what's a data analyst, what's a data scientist, what's a data architect, how do they fit together, what could their possible career path be as they move through these different areas. It's a new area of technology work, and so, again, we're defining it as we go, but we want to be comfortable and confident that we're defining a good path for those that come after us.
It's interesting also you say it's a new area, right? Because the data science has been around forever, but it's almost like it's exploded in the last 5 years.
I think it's gotten more...
It's like product manager.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot more specific and refined. I mean, we've kind of been inventing these things along the way. You know, like, now we talk a data pipeline. You know, we didn't use data pipeline as a term 7 years ago when we started that, but now we absolutely do. And there's very specific data engineering skills that come across the way. So the thing I thought was so perfect to having the Shazam presentation, really all of those things we've been talking about kind of came to life right there. And you could see where, you know, when there wasn't market readiness or technology readiness that got in the way, but it actually, the use case continued to drive the innovation, and that was really cool. So I love that.
But by the way, isn't that also illustrated by the advertising piece, right? The market readiness 5 years ago on the advertising side, we were working on an old model. We didn't have all these things, right? So, but we were thinking about it, right? That's the idea, is like we're thinking about it. We only have a couple minutes, and I wanted to talk also about renewed investments, right? Because part of this is the shiny dangly, right? And saying, hey, need money, we got to do this, right? Hey, see this data lake? You know, we got to turn it into a data pool, you know, right? So. You know, and also speaking from somebody that's also applied it and really kind of built a business around it internally, you know, where do we go? What is the shiny dangly that we can say, hey, we need to invest in this. This is important.
Well, machine learning and AI, you know, it comes up at these conferences all of the time. And I think a lot of the conversation around that historically has been around how do we make current processes more efficient by taking the human tasks and removing them and dumbing them down and making them easy. I feel like the new shiny dangly is, how do we use those technologies to completely transform our supply chain and our business to do something that we have never thought of before because it wasn't possible to do with people, and allowing the human capital that is important, the brains, to actually come up with new ways of leveraging this data. It's shifting the mindset so that you're not looking for a thousand tiny little wins that will equal, you know, a cost reduction. You're looking for the massive innovative idea that allows your business to, like Shazam, scale and explode.
The moonshot.
We talked last year here. I think it was last year when we did the AI panel.
It's all a blur.
It's all a blur. We talked a lot about the fact that the training aspect of using machine learning and AI technologies effectively is really lacking in the market. I think that it's getting to a place now where people are starting to realize the opportunity, but I've been personally beating the drum for so long that we have to invest in this training piece, that's one of the places that the investment actually needs to come so that we can get to the shiny object, which is this automated inference of information out of all of these materials. It's a really hard problem. And just go back and look at the slide deck from last year just to see how hard it is, but that's where some of the investment has to be, and I think it is starting to come, both from the companies, but also from the vendors, which, you know, I'm starting to have good conversations about that now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go real quick. I think there's, for all of us, I'm not going to go into like blue sky, happy to do that over drinks. practically, for everybody in this room, I think there's three areas that have really important use cases. The first one is the experience piece. If there's an area where it's a digital experience for a consumer, that could be B2B. We talk about consumer, but digital experience could be for employees, it could be for businesses, business relationships, or consumers. And if there's one that's like obvious and it's really valuable, that's a good one to go after. All of these things will be fueled by the things we're talking about. On the data science side, in our business, it's 80% audience. That's it. It's 80%. I don't care if you're producing, you're distributing, you're doing exhibition. It's understanding my content. Does it reach an audience? End of story. If you want to talk about me, a break on that, I tell you, almost everything you will do has to do with audience analytics for the most part. On the third is automation. So, I think if you look and you say, hey, that's not really a really great, exciting human job, you know, like manually matching data in spreadsheets over and over again, like we talked about, like with the manual metadata,
labeling
then you
CDs.
Could almost 100% certain know that that job has to get to automation. All of three of these things required connected data, and that's our jobs. We're all becoming, I think, data architects.
I would totally agree. Nona, any last words as we wrap this panel?
Well, Guy.
Well, I was going to say, shameless plug for your breakout session.
Amazing. Amazing. Don't miss.
It does. It all comes back to people. AL and MI are ML and AI, I guess it is. Now I'm coining new terms. Wouldn't be the first time. But they're really a means to the end, and we want to get to a fluid, harmonious customer user experience, audience experience that delivers our content without people having to think about it, without having to go, okay, Netflix, what's on my to-do, my watch list, or what are you recommending to me? Just have it out there in front of me. Have it all working together in kind of a sense of data nirvana.
Data nirvana.
And we had harmonious. I love that. Such a nice word.
It is. Oh, all right. So, and the other thing also for you here in the audience, how many people, this is your first smart content? Oh,
good,
yes.
Good.
Wow. These are
Welcome.
Your people. You know,
we just reviewed the last 7 years.
Yeah,
well,
congratulations, you're up to speed. You didn't miss a thing. These are your people, all right? The whole idea is it's not just about us here or who's talking at us. When you go into also the breakout sessions, it's meant to be a little more interactive. Raise your hands, ask the questions, get engaged, and also talk to the other people in this room. Chances are they're doing something very similar to what you're doing and feeling the same pain, and then we all drink at 6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. And I know I see some faces from yesterday. There's some super smart people in this room. So
super.
I you guys are the value. You're the innovators with each other. Please, I couldn't agree with them.
This is your community. Nope. All right. I thought you were gonna throw one in there. I thought the last little zinger from Darth Sugg. Please thank this amazing group of executives for the work that they've done over the last 7 years for smart contents.